when I was watching the movie, kind of grabbing the armrests, just like, and every so often I would lean over and say, it's okay, hang in there. Like, everyone has at least said that the last scene at the end of the world is really good. In fact, my good friend Jim Fan, she said that it's going to be awesome.
Welcome to Talking Beasts.
From NarniaWeb.com.
Where we explore the world of Sia.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have something really cool and really important to say. The cool part is that Talking Beasts mugs are available just in time for Christmas. One of them bears the Talking Beasts logo and the other has the NarniaWeb logo, both designed by AJ Aiken. And the important part is that all the proceeds from these mugs will go towards helping us pay off podcast expenses. Most of the money for microphones and other expenses has come directly out of my pocket, so I'm really hoping to recoup some of that so that we can keep this podcast going. So if you listen to this show regularly and you want to support us, you can go to narniweb.com/mugs. If you live in the United States, place your order before December 31st to get free shipping. Or another way you can support us is to simply donate directly by going to narniweb.com/donate. With new Netflix productions on the way, we really want to keep Talking Beasts going and continue to offer readers of C.S. Lewis a platform to make their voices heard. So I hope you will consider supporting us. Thanks for listening. Okay, where were we?
Lewis.
And keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This
is Talking Beasts.
Jim Fan, we got to talk about something.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
Well, you may remember that almost 8 years ago, there was this little movie coming out called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Oh, gee, tell me more.
Yeah, according to IMDb, I'm looking it up right now. According to IMDb, a bit of trivia here, it was based on a book by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So we have alluded to the fact several times over the years that, you know, your initial reaction to the movie was a lot more enthusiastic than mine, to say the least. And
it wasn't instant hatred. I'll just put it that way.
Right. But I don't know if I've ever really told you. Basically, one of the reasons why my first viewing of Dawn Treader was such a heartbreak was you. You went to see the media screenings a few weeks before the movie came out for a few personal reasons. I declined the media screening. And we all remember, I called it the production of the weird, the Dawn Treader marketing.
This Christmas.
There is the source of your troubles.
Enemies will unite.
It seeks to corrupt all goodness. To steal the light from this world.
And the only power to stop them.
That sword you carry, it must be laid at Aslan's table. Only then can their true power be released.
Lies beyond Narnia itself.
Aslan's country.
Do you really believe there's such a place?
We have nothing if not belief.
Travelers of Narnia, I am your guide.
You are most beautiful.
If it is a distraction for you, I can change form.
No.
The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. In digital 3D, directed by Michael Apted.
There just wasn't much there that really had me excited to see the movie. So I was really relieved when I saw your review that and you had some disclaimers. You said, yeah, there's some things in there that I don't like, but on the whole, especially the ending, it does a good job. And you described it as being more intimate than the other two. So that was the hope I clung to, said. Now, I still went in thinking I'm probably not going to like it as much as the other ones, but I know there are things that are going to drive me crazy. But maybe overall, there's still reason to hope that it will be good. I knew it could not possibly live up to the book, but that doesn't mean it still can't be a pretty good movie.
Right.
Now, had I not read your positive review, would that have drastically changed my assessment of the movie? No, it would not have. But it would have made it hurt a lot less.
Oh.
So.
The sadness.
Well, we've talked about what you think and what I think of the movie and such. And we did a poll in the Talking Beasts Facebook group recently and just asking people, listeners, what do you think of the movie? And they definitely lean negative, certainly. But so you and I have hashed out our varying opinions of it. But I don't know if I've ever really told you that Jim Phan, you broke my heart.
I feel like I did know that in one way or another, but it's okay. Good to be reminded.
Right. But we've alluded to it in passing the past several years. So what I wanted to do is get this out of my system.
In one final rehash.
Jim Phan, I mean, just why?
So I've been thinking about this recently. It's actually kind of interesting because I, as you probably guessed, I had the heads up on this topic before. So I was like, man, it's been a little while since I sat down and actually watched the movie. So I turned it on today and I had it playing in the background. It's probably been a year since I've seen it. But I was thinking about the movie and the movie aside, I'm not even going to talk about the actual film right now, but just the whole, like when it first came out, I think the reason, like the difference between you and me when it comes to initial reactions is possibly that for me, I think it wasn't just the movie that I was reacting to. It was also a lot of the kind of surrounding nostalgia and emotion and just like being able to see, you know, something, a book that I loved on screen. And in a way that it was special, it had its moments. So even though there was a lot of stuff about it that I was just like, you know, you kind of like inwardly cringe because you're just like, oh my goodness, that is not what I wanted to see at all. That doesn't work. That's not good. The parts that you did see, that they just like, they emotionally resonated with me in a way that I didn't hate it. You know, like I was still appreciating the parts that I did like. And so that kind of clouded, but that kind of was the thing that colored my whole perspective on the film. And so, yeah, initially I was pretty positive about it just because there was a lot of different factors going into it. And it was so good to see it after it, you know, so many years and like the devastation that had been when Disney dropped out after Prince Caspian. And we're like, oh, gee, are we ever going to see this movie get made? And it did get made. And there was parts about it that I really liked and whatnot. And so honestly, my overall impression was positive, but it wasn't just the movie that was part of that. There was a lot of other external factors, I guess. But honestly, it wasn't until other people started seeing it and reviews started coming in. And I think the thing that was really not hard for me, but just when a lot of really negative voices started coming out and suddenly this thing that I had like such a good like memory about is suddenly like, it felt like, you know, people are almost like stomping on it. And obviously, like, as time has gone on, like it's been 8 years later, I just watched the movie again today, I see all the glaring problems, guys, don't get me wrong. And I see them a lot clearer now just because of time and, you know, like you're emotionally distanced from all of it. But yeah, initially, I didn't have that perspective, I guess. I was just more focused on, yeah, look at this little thing that I've always wanted to see on screen. And like that moment, it was exactly what I wanted, and just kind of ignore the rest.
So basically, you Junoed it. Ever heard that term?
I think so, maybe.
Juno was the, when did that come out? That must have been about 2010, that movie with Ellen Page.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when it came out, Oscar buzz, everyone's talking about it, everyone loved it. And then just something happened a couple months later where everyone woke up and went, that wasn't that great of a movie. So basically, there were some people that Junoed Don Treader.
Yeah. But I think a lot has to do with like your like internal perspective and like how you view things. Like for me, I tend to get a lot more emotionally attached to certain things, so that tends to cloud my perspective, whereas other people are maybe more kind of straightforward and analytical about it, and it's like it's either good or it's bad. And so
I tend to think the thing I value the most in a movie is the emotional experience, And I think that's the, when I, for my first viewing of Dawn Treader, that's what was so, the most difficult thing to take was I felt I was fair, I overall liked Wardrobe, overall liked Caspian enough to where I felt, you know, fairly invested in these versions of the characters. And I felt they were treated really carelessly in Dawn Treader. They were just treated like cardboard cutouts that were just there to move their story along. And I was just struck by it. It really struck me as something that was intended for really little kids. And it just struck me as something that you're supposed to put on in the living room so that, to entertain your kids while you go take a shower. It didn't feel like an event at all. And that was the thing that surprised me the most. Now, I know some people that will say, well, you know, it's not just Dawn Treader, but if there's a kid's movie I don't like, they'll look at me and say, well, it's a kid's movie. You know, you can't say things like I didn't like the story or the characters. And me personally, I don't know how to do anything but go see a movie and say, this is what I think of it.
Right.
Just the fact that Teletubbies is not intended for me doesn't make me like it more. Okay, it's not intended for me. I guess that's why I didn't like it. And that, it, but it was, I was really surprised to see Narnia, and never mind the books. That's a whole other matter, the books. But just that a sequel to the first two movies, I felt it was treated really carelessly. Like, yeah, this is just a flavor of the week, and we're not supposed to get really invested in it. That was the thing that was so, I realized later, was so surprising. If it had tried to do something more ambitious and just totally failed,
yeah,
that's one thing. I almost would prefer it be terrible. It's almost like it's right. Not bad enough to be terrible because it's so, I find it so dull and uninspired.
Right.
And
that's how I feel about like the whole Green Mist edition. It's not that I necessarily hate it. It's not that I hate it because they added something into the book, because Prince Caspian added stuff, the movie, and we all know that I really love Prince Caspian, the film.
On paper, Prince, if you just, very strictly speaking, on paper, Prince Caspian made more changes.
Yeah.
But Dawn Treader, just the tone and the feel and the themes and the emotion, so wildly different. That
yeah, so it wasn't that they added in that stuff. It was the fact that it was just... it was lame. It didn't make any sense even within the film. Like, I was watching it again today, and I was like, they're like, you know, these seven swords were given to protect. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What does that have to do with anything?
Right. We can point to all kinds of things that make it a poor adaptation of the book, the Seven Swords and Green Mist being an obvious example. In the book, Reaper Chief actually says, we did not set sail to find things useful. We set sail to find honor and adventure. That kind of sums up the story. There's so many reasons why it's just fundamentally a different story than the book. But let's try to be fair, I think, and judge it as a movie. Because, I mean, I think if it was a good movie, I'm not saying I'd be totally fine with it, but it's a lot easier to take.
Yeah, because that's exactly how I feel about Prince Caspian. Like, it's a good movie. Great adaptation? You know, there's debate there, but it's a good movie. It has intention.
At the end of the day, Prince Caspian is, I think it's a good book, and I also think it's a good movie. Obviously, I think the book's better, but I don't care how faithful, quote-unquote, faithful you are to the book. If you take a good book and turn it into a bad movie, it's not a good adaptation. I don't care how great you get the dialogue. How could you call it a good adaptation if you started with something good, ended up with something bad? Obviously, we missed something really important there. We missed the whole reason we wanted to make this movie in the first place.
Or you could take a bad book and make a good movie, which
right. Now, I think,
has been done.
But all I'm trying to say is it's a factor in an adaptation. Just, is it a good movie? Even if it ignores everything else, if it's good, that's a point. I would say that Blade Runner is a bad adaptation overall of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? But I also think that Blade Runner is a really good movie. And so, in a lot of ways, at least. So I think that is a factor. If you take something that, okay, you mangle it and change it and just throw the entire book out, but end up with something that is at least quality and at least good, then I'm not going to hate it, probably, as an adaptation. Well, they made a good movie out of it. You can't. I wish they'd been able to stick to the book and make something good, but if the final result is good, I'm not going to complain that much. And just in my opinion, I mean, I can't say for sure that my first viewing of the movie wasn't clouded by my, you know, memory of my favorite book. I suppose it would be unreasonable to say it had no factor. But going through it the second time And yes, the third time in the theater, which I did. Me and all I can say is that I guess me and Rillian process grief differently, because I think his only viewing of the movie, I think is the only time he ever saw it was in theaters. And then just once, whereas I had to go see it two more times.
Oh my goodness.
The second time was just to give it another legitimate shot and just try very hard to say, throw away what you know of the book and just try to appreciate it as a movie. The third time was to take careful notes for my 4-hour rant on YouTube.
I think I saw it twice. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I just don't like it as a movie. It's all the things I don't like in a movie. It doesn't take time to savor anything. The acting is really over the top, and they have payoffs without proper setup, like Caspian's father, and it's just I really can't think of a single complete scene in the movie that I would say that's a good scene. There's little elements here and there that, oh yeah, that was kind of cool, I guess. Don Treader looks nice overall. The very last scene where Lucius hangs the picture on the wall is kind of nice. So there's moments, but on the whole, I can't think of a single complete scene where I'm like, that's a strong scene. I liked that.
I think the thing that kills it is just, like, the one thing that really stuck out to me today is how horrible the script is. Like, the script is, it's really bad, guys.
That's another thing I'll add to the list that I usually hate in movies is when people say everything out loud. There's so much stuff, like, even when they're seeing their gifts on the ship. And, oh, my healing cordial, and Aslan, and they're saying everything out loud. I can see it right in front of me! That just drives me nuts in movies. So it's just full of things that I personally can't stand in movies. Don Treader's a laundry list of my movie pet peeves.
Yeah, it's not a great script. I don't think it was directed very well. See, that's the thing that kills me, is I see there's so many elements in there that had so much potential, and things that could have just paid off really, really, really well. Like, I love the design of pretty much all of it. Like, it just, the film looks good in terms of, like, the set. I think that, like, the sets and the scenery, for the most part, it pretty much lines
too
up
with
what
digital fakey for me.
Whatever.
Especially compared to the other two movies, but had a grounding.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as, like the world that they're building, it works for me. And it just kills me that they literally cast the perfect person to be Eustace, and that's what he got.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, let's go there. I'm going to say something.
Let's go there.
I warned you I was going to go here. I was going to say something kind of unpopular. Maybe to those of our listeners who are all, like, rooting for... I guess you've now gone into more of how your opinion changed over time, but rooting for Glumpuddle, yeah, go into how terrible the movie was! Well, let me say something unpopular. I don't love Will Poulter as Eustace. Hang on.
Yeah.
Don't go away yet. But I don't dislike him. I think I was very excited when he was cast, and I think he did a perfectly adequate job. But I don't think he was amazing, and I certainly don't think he was irreplaceable. In a nutshell, it's a very challenging role because Eustace is you don't want to not want to see a character. Eustace is a character that we would not want to be friends with. We would not want to have dinner with, and has so many negative qualities at the beginning. But in the book, we still enjoy reading him. But in the movie, I go, okay, this kid's kind of funny, but gosh, can we cut to someone else, please? That's where I think I say, and again, how much of this is the script and the direction? I don't know. He's obviously a great actor. But yeah, I thought he did a perfectly adequate job as Eustace, but nothing to write home about is how I would take from it.
Yeah, see, I think that was one thing that stuck out to me while I was watching it, was that he is pretty much the only character in the movie that you see actually change. Like, the way he is at the beginning of the film, and then the way he... And I'm talking about, like, Will's portrayal of Eustace. Like, there's a very clear, definite shift. And there's just so much... I wish that it just could have gone a lot deeper and just given him more to work with. Because what I see there, like, even what we got was, like... This is, like, when I think of Eustace, like, I think of him in my mind now. Just, like, lots of different things. Just, it still, like, makes me smile. I still crack up, and I'm like, yeah, that's the Eustace that I remember.
Maybe I don't imagine. I mean, again, I'm just trying to focus on it as a movie. But if I look at him as the Eustace from the book, maybe he's just a little too over the top. Maybe I kind of see Eustace as the, or he's trying to be the straight man at least, to this, oh my gosh, all these fantastical things. And I don't know. I guess he did
a lot of that's like script though, because like some of the things that they gave him in the script, like, yeah, like that's, it's the thing you said, like saying things out loud that you don't need to be saying out loud. So that just kind of adds to the whole like farce of it.
Maybe he just seems like a little, Eustace still seems like a real person to me in the book. And in the movie, he's kind of a cartoon character. He's funny, but he doesn't seem like this is a real person to me. Maybe I think Will Poulter just overplayed it a little much to where he doesn't seem like a real person anymore. Maybe that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't really see that, but I do really, I enjoy every time. That's pretty much the saving thing for the movie is, for me, is like I go in there and I get to watch Will Poulter play Eustace and I'm like, yes, I love this.
So many of our listeners and Narnia Webbers, oh my gosh, Will Poulter is just one of the best things about the whole Walden trilogy. And I just tend to, I haven't lied or anything, but I've tended to downplay how, yeah, I don't love him as much as everyone else does, because I was just worried that no one will take me seriously. They'll say, well, you're just a hater then, because you're just going to hate everything in this movie if you hate Will Poulter. So I had a tendency to kind of shy away from that.
Well, I mean, everyone gets their own opinion, and not everything is everyone's cup of tea. Like, I don't love Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as much as pretty much everyone else does, but that's just my own personal...
And same here. I like it. I don't love it. And we probably like Caspian a lot more than most people. I know we've gone a little over time here, but I wanted to talk about the last scene in the movie.
Yep.
Just the end of the world. Because when I was watching the movie, I was just, you know, kind of grabbing the armrests, just like, and I was dangling onto hope. And my brother was being more vocal. He was like, oh, and groaning, and oh my God, this is so annoying. And every so often I would lean over and say, it's okay. Hang in there. Like, everyone has at least said that the last scene at the end of the world is really good. In fact, my good friend Jim Fan, she said that it's going to be awesome. Hang in there. So although your positive review is one of the things that ended up causing me a lot of heartbreak,
this is really what did it.
it kept me hoping. It kept me from just giving up on the movie after about halfway through. Maybe at least that last scene will be special. And a lot of people, even those that dislike the movie, will say, yeah, that last scene's really great. And I'll just say something unpopular again. I don't really like it. The visual design is very cool. The wave that never breaks is very effective. Aslan looks about as good here as he does in any of the movies. But again, it's just forced payoff with no setup. I don't know why Eustace starts crying. I don't buy that for a second. and when they find out that they're not coming back to Narnia... it's just, oh, this is our last time here, isn't it? Yep. I mean, it's certainly nothing like the book where they're stunned and anguished to find out that they're not coming back to Narnia. Nothing on that level. To me, it all felt very forced. And the whole thing with Caspian and his father, I promise to be a better king, it just comes out of nowhere. He completely pulls a character arc out of his butt out of nowhere at the very end. To me, it just completely fell flat for me. And then the famous lines of Aslan saying, in your world, I have another name. Kind of pointless here, because in the book, they assume they're not coming back to Narnia. They're heartbroken. Then Aslan says, yes, it's true. You're not coming back. But you see, in your world, I have another name. So it brings them back up. It lets the book end on kind of a hopeful note where it would seem really tragic without it. Here, they seem totally cool. In fact, Lucy is like, hey, this is our last time here, isn't it? And then... yeah, we better go because they need us at home. I don't know where they learned that. And then they just seem kind of cool with the fact that they're leaving. And so the whole I'm in your world too line emotionally kind of seems like it's not even needed here the way they did it. And so I thought that visually very impressive, but emotionally just totally fell flat for me.
I feel like for me, the emotion that I felt at that last scene, a lot of it is building up on... personal, like how you know the previous films and how you know the books and your own personal connection and emotion to that. So in a way, yeah, I am probably projecting a bit of like my own emotion into like my recollection and my liking of that scene. But that still doesn't draw away from the fact that, yeah, for me, I do see it as kind of like being, it is more of a goodbye. It doesn't have that kind of lift back up hopeful moment, which the book does have. But in a way, it is kind of a good closure for those characters and also kind of for the film trilogy in general. I'm not sure if we kind of had an idea by the time John Treadwick came out that might kind of be it.
Well, I think remember there was a discussion even a couple months before John Treadwick came out. Producer Mark Johnson had said, we're not sure if we're going to make The Silver Chair next or The Magician's Nephew.
Right.
And so there was a lot of discussion about that. And I think I remember saying that I felt, you know, I think they'll probably make at least one more. And after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so there was a feeling that, no, I think they'll probably make one more. It was a surprise when somewhat a surprise when it kind of fizzled out.
Yeah. I think especially like remembering what we all went through after Prince Caspian, where it didn't perform well. And then I remember it was Christmas and we finally got the news that, oh, hey.
It was like Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like legit.
Merry Christmas,
like,
Narnie Webbers.
I was like, yeah, happy freaking
Christmas Eve. The news came out that Disney was dropping out. Yeah.
Literally the worst. That was horrible.
Always
but anyway,
Christmas,
like,
but no Narnia movie.
Basically. So I'm remembering all of that and remembering kind of like the second shot that we got at Don Shredder and how that whole process was just filled with a whole lot of doubts. And then, you know, like there's lots of questions and then the movie ends up, you know, like it's okay, but it's not like super amazing. And then there's like this closure. This is like kind of wrapping up, like if this is the goodbye that you're getting, like to me, it was a satisfactory goodbye. And so I was kind of feeling those emotions as well as the characters. So again, it's probably projecting a little bit, but I remember that just kind of playing in together.
I guess for me, sort of the opposite, where I was so disappointed with it. Like, well, after all this time waiting for this movie and this is it, this is what I'm getting after all that time. To me, it was the opposite. Now, so I've kind of softened my feeling on the movie a little bit over time. I think it's a watchable movie, but it's nothing. It's watchable. Like, it's not utterly, like, as a movie, as a fan of the book, so painful to watch. Like, you can't even look at the screen. As a movie, it's like whatever. It's watchable. It's not offensive. It's whatever.
I think the most offensive thing to me is that when I was watching it again today, like I said, I had it playing in the background. I was doing other things on my computer, whatever. There was only like a handful of times when I actually like turned and I was like actually watching what was going on. The rest of the time, it was just playing and I was listening to it. That was it. Like the things that like had me kind of turn and watch was the beginning part, like the uh-huh. beginning, probably like 15, 20 minutes or so right before they get to the first island.
Yeah. The like, picture in the bedroom scene's not bad.
Yeah. And like when they first get on the ship and everything, like I really like that. The part where Lucy meets the Duffelpuds. Am I remembering that correctly?
Duffelpuds,
yeah, that part. I watched that because I
and Duffelpuds are okay.
Yeah, and then when Eustace was a dragon, at least that first part when he first becomes a dragon, I remembered that I liked that. That was basically it. That in the end,
okay.
That was about it.
Well, I guess I'll end on one positive note here, because I usually pick on the BBC movie so much, but the BBC version of Don Treader is definitely is halfway decent. It's certainly way better than this. In the other two cases, I think with Wardrobe and Caspian, yeah, a Walden version overall better, Caspian by a mile better than the BBC version. And this is one case where BBC definitely way better than Walden. So there you go. There's something
there
positive
go.
To end on.
And then the jury's still out on Silver Chair because you never know.
Yeah. So we'll see if Don Treader, maybe they do a series out of it. It could work a lot better as a series because it's such an episodic book. You could see
uh-huh.
where it could work really well to break it up, or maybe a mini series. It could work really well. So
we'll see.
Still reason to hope. Yeah. I mean, Jim Fan, if you're hopeful about it, then I'm sure it'll definitely be good. I'm sure I won't be disappointed because I put my hope in you before.
Yeah, you're never going to listen to me again when it comes to anything, I'm sure. And remember, like, this is like, I tend to be a pretty optimistic person. Like, I tend to see the glass.
That's why we keep
half
you around,
full,
Jim Fan.
Not half empty.
Okay. That's enough of us yapping on about Narnia. Let's hear from you guys.
Voices of Narnia Web.
Hello, Narnia Webbers. This is Jonathan Paper from Melbourne, Australia. Here are my thoughts about the new proposed Narnia Netflix series and movies. I hope it looks like a real world. Attention to detail should be paid and make it as real looking as possible while keeping the fantasy elements. I hope the filmmakers pay deep attention to the books and know them inside out to be as faithful as possible. And I think they should make the ages of the characters as close to the ages in the books as possible, which would be different than the Walden series. They should plan on casting to hopefully make the same actors be the characters in all books, including where they appear in The Last Battle and The Horse and His Boy, if possible. Thank you so much for listening to this.
If you want to share what the Chronicles of Narnia means to you, send your voice to the email address in the episode description.
And now it's time for something else. The part of the show where Narnia Webbers talk about something else.
What are some of your favorite TV shows? And I can go first, and I'll just kind of talk about what I've been watching recently, because if I went into like of all time, we could be here forever. I love watching, I think TV shows are, I watch way more TV shows than I watch movies, if I'm being honest. But recently, some stuff I've really been enjoying is, I really love a lot of the Marvel Netflix, the Defenders TV shows that they've been doing. So like Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist wasn't my favorite, but you know, it's all right. And speaking of Narnia, I'm blanking on the name. Which one was the one that Ben Barnes was in?
The Punisher?
The Punisher, which I watched last year, I think. And by the way, Ben Barnes is fantastic in that TV show. It's like
Jigsaw.
So disturbing, like the kind of violence in that show is not my favorite, but it was like a very well-made show. So I've really been enjoying those. Current shows I like watching. I like watching This Is Us. I've been watching the new Doctor Who quite a bit. I've really loved watching Doctor Who ever since they rebooted it. And I kind of fell off the wagon in the last two seasons. But this new season, I've been enjoying a lot.
Yeah, Doctor Who I find really intimidating because it's just hard to know where to begin. We could begin with Puddleglum.
Yeah,
go right back to the beginning with Tom Baker. That's one way
See,
to do
I've
it.
Never, I've never even done that.
Okay,
so
most people tell me not to do that. But yeah, I get so intimidated on where to start, and it just seems like this big can of worms that I don't know. It's odd, isn't it? I'm sure it's good. I'd probably like it. I've seen a few episodes, and they seem great, but I'm just sort of intimidated by it. If that makes any sense,
everyone
it just seems so
has-
big.
Yeah, I think everyone has their own personal preference. For me, my sister started watching it first. So I wasn't watching it, but like she would have it playing in the room. So I was kind of introduced to like bits and pieces here and there. But when I actually went back and started watching it for myself, I believe I started watching, it was season 5 of the new series. So it was the one with Matt Smith. It was his first season. I believe that's where I started kind of watching on my own. And then I went back afterwards and I watched the rest.
My favorite television show of all time is Seinfeld, actually.
I have never seen it.
Well, I don't know how to recommend it exactly. You need to watch several episodes to kind of understand what they're doing, but it is taking... It's basically like Jerry Seinfeld's a real comedian, of course, and this is kind of, but he plays himself, though not nearly as rich version of himself. And the idea behind it is, where do comedians get their ideas for their material? And of course, the answer is from everyday life. And so it's just little annoyances that we all relate to. Like, yeah, that happens to me. I thought I was the only one that was that happened to. And turn it into massive disasters. And I find it really relatable. I've never seen an episode that I didn't think was really funny and didn't relate to. So that's definitely my favorite TV show ever. I just recently finished Avatar The Last Airbender, thanks to Ryidian. And I don't love it as much as she does, but I definitely thought it definitely a quality show, great world bending, world building, excuse
world
me.
World bending, world building. Well, I think you're mixing up your metaphors there.
Water bending, good world, or maybe it's water building and world bending. Yeah, I definitely really enjoyed that. The characters, the emotion, the themes, that great animation, the fight scenes are fantastically well done. But the thing for even with that show, even TV shows I like, I'm just more of a movie guy because after a while, and it usually happens after, you know, several episodes, I just go, you know, this is still good, but I just feel like I'm done. It's just like for me, it's just kind of like eating candy. Like even if I like it after a while, it's like, I'm done. And that a lot of, and I just think I'm a movie guy. Even shows that I really will say, yeah, that's a great show. But just Avatar, after starting just after season two, I started to feel like, I'm just kind of, it's still good. I'm just kind of over it. And I find that even with like the Sherlock TV show with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, Sherlock is awesome.
It's a great show, but after a few episodes, I started to feel like, okay, I'm done. It's almost like, okay, I kind of get the joke. I kind of get the shtick. I can move on to something else now. That's just kind of always been with TV. I just recently finished Daredevil season 3.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Speaking of Marvel. First half I thought really dragged, and the second half it picked up. I admire a lot what they're doing with Daredevil. It's definitely a lot more interesting than a lot of the other Marvel stuff, in my opinion. Another show I like, I'll mention just because I think it kind of connects to Don Treader. The reason I like it is Star Trek, but specifically Star Trek The Next Generation, which my wife introduced me to, but she wasn't my wife yet. Remember one of the first conversations I had with her when we were friends was, I said, look, I want to get into Star Trek, or I want to just know about it, because, you know, it's just such a big pop culture nerd thing. I want to at least know about it. Can you give me the 5 Star Trek episodes that will just give me an idea of what Star Trek, it will kind of represent this is what Star Trek is? And her and her brother debated for like 2 weeks and finally came up with the 5 episodes. But Next Generation, especially with Patrick Stewart, is all about exploration. It's all about, savoring the fact that, wow, another world, and pondering the implications of what they find. And that's why I love 2001 A Space Odyssey, my favorite movie. Thanks to those of you that kind of were on my side in the comments section after Rillian was making fun of me. But that's why I love 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that's why I love Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and why I frankly dislike the movie. It takes the time to savor what they're seeing and ponder the implications, not just on a science level, but just on a character level. What does this mean? So I really love Next Generation quite a bit, but I'm just more of a movie guy in general. I just find it hard to, maybe it's my attention span, but I just find it hard to invest in something for that long, even if it's good.
I think for me, the one reason why I love TV shows is because I am a creature of habit. So when you find something where you like the characters and you like the story and you like, you know, it's like you're like, I like this. And so then you can just keep watching because you know what to expect in a way.
Sure.
You're not going to get like a, you know, it's not like you're having to get reintroduced to something all the time.
Yeah. Even if the story is not great, it's still just nice to see these characters that you feel like you know.
Yeah.
So I understand that conceptually. I can relate to that to a certain extent. I just find that my kind of patience seems to run out a lot quicker than most people, I guess.
I think, and there's a difference when you're watching TV shows in real time as opposed to like doing like the Netflix binge or like watching things after all the seasons have come out.
Yeah.
As I think having a little bit of time in between your episodes can really make a big difference.
Sure.
Also, if it's like a TV show where you kind of participate in like figuring out what's going to happen, like what is in this episode. Like I remember Doctor Who back when it was like, I think it was season 6. And that was the first Doctor Who season that I watched in real time. And I would go online. I was on forums. I was reading all these theories and whatnot. And it was just super fun. And it just made the experience a lot different than when I was just Netflixing it.
Yeah, back in the old days when they had flip phones, that's how TV was. Kids today feel so old now. Kids these days, they don't know what it's like to, my favorite show is coming on at 7 o'clock. They don't know what that means. It's just, boom, there you go. There's all the episodes. It'll be interesting to see what am I going to do when Narnia comes out if it is like a whole season? And usually they come out at like in the middle of the night, like midnight California time.
Yeah, you're going to be staying up and you're going to binge it.
Nope, I'm going to be take the day before off and the day after off work and
plenty
of coffee. That's probably how I'll have to do it. It'll be invite a bunch of Narnia friends over and just say, all right, everybody, here's coffee, here's candy, let's go.
Yeah, well, that's the fun thing about Netflix is you, in a way you do get to choose how and when you want to digest it. Like when I watched Stranger Things season 2, it came out the weekend I was with a friend. I was visiting a friend. And so we kind of watched like probably 3 episodes a night. And we just kind of did it that way.
All right. Let's see if I can nail this intro in one take. You've been listening to Talking Beasts, an ArnieWeb.com podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can also email us at podcast@narnieweb.com, jimfan15@narnieweb.com, or glumpuddle@narnieweb.com. Special thanks to the rest of our podcast team, AJ Aiken and the Rose Tree Dryad. For the latest Narnia Netflix news, because I rewrote it myself and I still am used to saying Silverchair. Okay. For the latest Narnia Netflix news, visit narnieweb.com. Further up and further in.